How do you make every day fresh? Right? How do you make your walk with God fresh every single day? In other words, how do you not be stagnant? There's a couple of things that people lack. And I think this is generally true in Christianity. And, well, partly partly in good churches that have really rich Word of God. It can be true also. It is one thing if you are in a place where you're not being fed. But interestingly enough, people when they are in a place where they're not being fed don't get stagnant. As a matter of fact, they're fairly content there, generally. And they'll say, oh, I see the weaknesses, but I will deal with the weaknesses, and they put their energy into it. And the reason why they put their energy into it is because there's something for them to do and to feel a part, and usually there's something that can really satisfy the self-righteous component of the flesh. And that may not be outward hypocrisy or anything like that. It may simply be operating well at the good side of the tree of knowledge. And people like this generally don't feel stagnant because they are placated. I think there are a couple of things we desperately need. One, we need the Word of God in purity and richness. With an anointing. If we have the Word of God with an anointing, the second thing we need is what the Word of God brings us. It brings us to the love of the Savior. We need to have a personal fellowship. I don't want to say relationship because that word is so beaten to death that it's lost its meaning. We need to have a personal fellowship, a oneness and a communion with the love of God. There's only one way for that to take place. We have to be broken. If God doesn't put me through the fire, through the trial, I will not get broken. And if I am not broken, I will never know the love of God in all its wealth and richness and purity. I will know it in a general sense. I may even have an appreciation for it, but it will not become a part of me. The woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair was a prostitute. Now, she got broken in a bad way, but she did get broken before God. God forbid anybody go the route she did to get broken. However, she did get broken. The difference between the sinner who repents, for example, somebody like a prostitute or somebody who's not so openly sinful, maybe somebody who is the other side of the coin, very self-righteous. To tell you the truth, spiritually speaking, the prostitute was better off than the Pharisee. Because the prostitute recognized her need for her Savior, the Pharisee did not. The Pharisee died in his sin, unless he repented and got saved. The prostitute got saved, and she was commended by the Savior. She was remembered for all eternity, and the Savior made sure that she was remembered for all eternity. But she was a prostitute, but her sin broke her. It is better for something else to break me. It is better for me to enter into a breaking process in the will of God, where God tries me and He puts me through the fire. The fire, the test, will break me. I remember years ago when I was a first-year Bible college student, and some of you know this story, I had the opportunity to go to visit a few countries in South America with the director of our missions department. This was a very seasoned veteran leader, missionary pastor. This was a man you glean from, plain and simple. This was a man you glean from. When he was around, you shut up and you prayed that he talked. Okay, this kind of a person. And he had been at it for decades. right? So I was like thrilled. I was a young Bible college kid, and I have this opportunity with this veteran missionary to spend time with him alone and to travel with him, visiting other veteran missionaries. I thought, what an opportunity. And then the day before we leave, I got really sick. And I went into the emergency room, and the doctor told me it's really not a good idea for you to go anywhere for at least 48 hours. He said, Doc, tomorrow I leave for South America. He said, I don't recommend it. If this goes bad, then you're not going to get much help where you're going. And that could be very dangerous for you. The next morning, I was like really bad. I had this bad infection in my face, cellulitis in my face. And the next morning I woke up and my face was like the whole right side, or was it left side? I don't even remember now. But the whole side of my face was completely swollen, left side. I mean, my eye was swollen shut, the other one was half swollen shut. And so I got a kind of a good clue that I wasn't going anywhere that day. Right? And I went to the emergency room again, and you know they had to treat it there. It would have been a bad thing to have to travel with, and I was sick for a week out of this. And I asked God, Lord, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen when I have this like remarkable opportunity? And God said to me, and it was not in a verbal audible, but He spoke to my heart. Interesting though, when God speaks to you, it is audible in your heart. It is not audible in your ears, but it is audible in your heart. That is one of the methods of God speaking. It's not a thought in your head, it's a voice in your heart. Sometimes God will speak in this kind of almost voice-like manner. Sometimes God will speak to you, and it is like in the Old Testament where an angel came, and that can happen also, where He speaks to you from the outside, where you are the only one who can hear it, but He speaks to the heart. He doesn't speak to the head or to the ear. He can also speak to people by putting strong impressions, a witness into their heart regarding a certain thing or a certain circumstance where you simply know that this is so and you know that it's from God. He may speak to you from the Word of God, where in the Word of God you come upon a passage and you say, this is, God just said something to me. It is never a question mark in it. It is never, was that God? Was it not God? No. You always know with clarity and assurance that God had spoken when God speaks. If you are in a place where you're not sure if God spoke, was it, wasn't it, was it, wasn't it? No, it was not. Okay, let's just make that clear. No, it was not. How do I know that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep will know my voice. So if I am a sheep, if you will, if I am born again, if I am one of God's, then I will know the voice of God. There will not be a question mark. There will not be unclarity and uncertainty. I will know the voice of God. And I will know it with certainty, and I will know it with assurance, and I will know it with it's like grace. I have the grace to receive from God that which He is giving. I have the grace to receive the communication, and if it's a communication about something that is happening or will happen or whatever, you stand in the presence of grace. And this is like the unique characteristic of the voice of God. There is no other voice like God's voice. And it is very, very distinct and very identifiable. If you hear God's voice, you will know you heard God's voice. Period. Now, God said to my heart, He showed me where Jesus broke the bread and fed the multitudes. He said, this is a picture of your pastor. Dr. Stevens, personally, and this is my opinion, but I make no apologies for it because it is a godly opinion. I think he was the greatest pastor that I have ever even heard of. Not that other pastors aren't wonderful, but Dr. Stevens had a unique gift and a unique calling by grace. Now, that is not, when I say things like that, please don't misunderstand. That is not to demean other portions. That is because I respect and I refuse to not honor his portion. So please understand when I say that. Now, he said, this is what happened to your pastor. He was broken, and because he was broken, he fed multitudes. But why could he feed the multitudes? Because he had God's heart in the brokenness. And the only way that you can get brokenness with God's heart is to draw near to the love of God in the testing process. Otherwise, you cannot do it. It doesn't work. And then he showed me also where Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And that, in fact, we are the bread. We're the bread that is broken that multitudes might be filled. We're the bread that is broken and the fish get multiplied. And then he said to my heart, unless I break you, I cannot use you. I think one of the reasons, there are several reasons that people may stagnate. They receive, but they're not broken because they haven't been tested yet. Now, the fact that I am not broken is not something to condemn myself about. I cannot break myself. I simply haven't entered the fullness of the breaking process. The second thing is, if I receive and I don't pour out, I will stagnate. Because just like water, if it is not flowing, it stagnates. It becomes putrid. Well, if I receive and I don't pour out, I will stagnate. The best solution to feeling stagnant, to say, okay, I know it's not bad, it's just not great. I know I'm doing the right, what I should be. I know I'm receiving and I know it's good. But I'm stagnant. I'm going nowhere. Why? You're not pouring out. Plain and simple, you're not pouring out. Again, that's not to condemn. Never be condemned when you hear something that instructs. If there is something that instructs me that I'm not doing that I ought to be doing, if I'm in a place where I get instructed about something I ought to be doing and I am not doing it, then I don't get condemned by not doing it. I simply become instructed. I get taught by the Word of God. And then I respond to the Word of God in faith obedience. Well, how do I pour out? I pour out the way that I can. Maybe there is somebody I know and they are not saved. I just start like telling them the gospel. Hey, do you know where you're going when you die? I can't say that. They're going to look at me like I'm weird. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But you know what? If I don't say that, God's going to look at me like I'm weird. Because I won't have His heart. I won't have His values. There is a reason why the soul winner is wise in Proverbs 11:30. Because he has God's sense of economy. He knows what is valuable before God. He knows that one soul is worth more than the whole world. One of the things I think, especially with younger believers who have never done this, but older believers who have never done this too, I'm assuming that everyone's in a place where they can do this, but perhaps they are not. One of the things about people who have never gone out soul winning or have never gone into confrontational evangelism, and by the way, the Bible does teach confrontational evangelism. It doesn't teach this passive lifestyle evangelism. Certainly we want our lifestyle to be testimony, but that is, if that is all, then that is not, we are not obedient. Because the Word of God said, go out and make disciples, go out and win the lost. Be soul winners. That means go out on purpose, go door to door like Paul did. He actually literally went door to door and pour out. What if I can't go door to door? Then pour out whatever way you can. Like send an email. You know, talk to somebody. Write a letter. Whatever you can. Right? Talk to people. Like, I don't know them. I'm not very comfortable talking to them. Okay, that's fine. You know what? Get out of yourself. I can't get out of myself. Okay, fine. You know what? Then take the steps that you can take. Okay, can't get out of yourself yet? Fine. Take a tract. Give it to them. Say to them, read this. Take the step that you can take. Start pouring out and you won't be stagnant. Plain and simple. Start pouring out and you won't be stagnant. How do you get rid of a stagnant pond? You drain it. Right? Well, likewise, how do you get rid of a stagnant pond inside? You drain it. Like you've been poured into. Pour out. Right? Don't try pouring out unless you've been poured into, because you won't have anything to pour out. But if you've been poured into, pour out. It's amazing the things that go as far as personal things, emotional issues, issues of the past, issues of frustration. It's amazing the things that go when we actually start sharing the Word of God, when we start letting the Word of God flow through us. Because I believe, and I know this is like I've experienced it, and everybody I know that does this has experienced it, and it is entirely scriptural. If you pour out, you become clean on the inside. Because essentially you are then a passage for the Word of God to pass through. And you become clean on the inside. If you pour out, you stop looking in, you start looking out. It no longer is all about me. It is all about God and the lost and somebody else. Believers nowadays, I think largely in this age, we are the Christian me generation. Because we're kind of spoiled. We've got an abundance of things. We just don't have an abundance of word. We don't really have an abundance of conviction. We have an abundance of morality. And morality is fine. Conviction is better. Pure, heart-transforming conviction. If you're worrying about being stagnant, start pouring out. And let God break you. And as you pour out, God will bring you into the breaking process. But the beautiful thing about the breaking process is, it isn't actually all that painful all the time. Sometimes it can be painful. Sometimes painful things can break you. But not everything that breaks you is painful. Sometimes people are broken when they realized how amazingly deeply and intensely God loves them. And they don't deserve it at all. And that breaks them. Just like that woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. She was broken not because of any great thing in her life. She was broken because she knew who she was. And she met the love of God. And she knew that she did not deserve it. Nothing about her deserved it. And she knew it. Where I get in trouble is when I think something about me does deserve it. That's where I get self-righteous. The seven sins that God hates all have a similar root, the same root. It is pride in the heart. The haughty look. I always thought it was amazing that God, the first thing God hated was a haughty look. A look of contempt and arrogance. Like, have you ever seen a haughty look? They're cutting and they are penetrating. They are worse often than words. Sometimes words can be pretty bad too, but it is a cutting and penetrating look, and it has its birthplace in hell. So it's, you know, the seventh thing God hates. You know what? I won't have a problem with those things if I'm pouring out, because I'll be too focused on God's love. I won't be too focused on the hatred that comes from the enemy. I won't be listening to the enemy's talking in my ear without my even being aware of it. I will be too consumed with the love of God for another person. And God simply transforms me in the process. Anyway, that was a good question. Any other questions?